driving today to work, I was listening to a broadcast that I listened to, and I don't even remember what the subject of the broadcast was, because the Lord started speaking to me about some of the things that I was hearing, and he mentioned the words, a well-equipped warrior, a well-equipped warrior, and this is what I've titled this sermon today. And I was reading in Ephesians chapter 6, and I've been in this chapter all week long studying it. And I want you to turn to that Ephesians 6 if you have your Bible. I'm going to read the Message version, chapter 10, or verse 10, starting at verse 10 through 18, because it struck me. And I guess I must have been listening to this on the way to work when God spoke to me and gave me the title of the sermon. And it reads as, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Not just some things, but everything. You're equipped for everything. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in just a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. And I love that because it's a life or death fight. They ain't no halfways. They ain't no partials. They ain't no lukewarm. It's life or death. There's no in between. It's either one or the other. And he's very adamant at telling you who the enemy is, against the devil and all his angels. And it goes on to verse 13. It says, be prepared. Be prepared. This is our part. Being prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. How many of you all know that? I've learned that over the years. It's far more than I can handle. In myself, definitely. But it says, take all the help you can get. That's that be prepared part. Every weapon God has issued so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth. Righteousness. Peace. Faith and salvation are more than words. How many times do you catch yourself, oh yeah, I know about the peace of God. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Yeah. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yeah, I know that. And truth. Yeah, God's word is the truth. He is the truth. Salvation. I've been saved from sin. I've been made righteous. But they're more than words. Those are actually the part of being prepared. That's the part that I have to do. These were all given to me. These are weapons that he has afforded me through salvation, through Christ, through triumphant on the cross. You know, everything that God did was for us, for our victory. The victory was won on Calvary because it was lost in the garden. And the whole time, all through the New Testament and into the Old Testament, through the New Testament, God was preparing a way to make us victorious, to bring us back to him. And he did the ultimate sacrifice, one that I don't even think I could do. He gave his son for me and you. And yet we walk around and we don't walk in the victory that He died to give us. Because we look at things like faith and peace and salvation and righteousness and truth, and we think they're just words. But the writer says they are much more than words. He says, learn how to apply them. And I got to thinking, do I really apply that to myself? Or is it just on Sundays and Wednesdays? Just when I open my word up, do I think about those things? Or do I actually live that as part of being a warrior? He says you'll need them throughout your life. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not just when I'm in trouble, not just when somebody called and asked me for prayer. I need them for my life, beginning to end. Every phase, every trial, every storm, every inconvenience, every joy, everything. It says, God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And that just hit me. That just hit me when I heard that. I was driving this morning and God said, you are a well-equipped warrior. I was like, warrior? And my whole premises of teaching on Sunday mornings is to equip the Christian to be the army of God. To walk as people of men and women of God in peace and joy and love and in victory. The victory that He died on the cross and over death and over hell to give me. How is it that I can live a life less than that? The ultimate sacrifice that He made. So I went and I started looking, what is a warrior? In simple definitions, a warrior is a person engaged in some struggle or conflict. But he's not just because he's engaged in it. Is he a warrior? He is a warrior because he exhibits bravery and courage under the given circumstance. I work in the medical field and we deal with people who have survived cancer, and breast cancer is one of the ones I worked with a while back, a year or so ago, and they were called warriors because they had overcome and had the strength physically, spiritually, and emotionally to survive this diagnosis of breast cancer. There was actually t-shirts printed. You're a warrior of this. You're a warrior of that. Whatever you had faced, gone through, and had walked through and overcome, they considered you a warrior. That is someone who exhibits bravery and courage under a given circumstance. A warrior. I submit to you today that you're not only soldiers of God, but you're called to be warriors of God. So I got to looking up what God thinks about war, and it took me to Exodus 15 and 3. And this is the children of Israel. After they crossed the Red Sea, and they turned around and they watched their enemies be destroyed, never ever to be a problem again. And that's what God promised them. He said, you'll never see them again after today. And He kept His word. And this, if you looked in the King James Version, is called the Songs of Deliverance. This was Moses and the Israelites, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. It says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his riders He hath thrown into the sea. my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. He never goes to war for himself, but he's always going to war for you, so that you can give him in the glory. Everything he's done is for us. All that Jesus went through, all through the prophets, and all in the Old Testament, and David is one of the mighty men of God, we call him. Even he knew and understand who had been his help. In Psalms 18 and 34, you see David writing about this. And there's in other places too, but I'm just going to hit a few of them. Psalms 18. And if you read this, I mean, this whole chapter is so great, but I'll just read the first few. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And read all of it. It talks about how death compressed him. The ungodly men come upon him like a flood. And the sorrow of hell compressed him. The snares of death prevented me. But in my distress, verse 6, he said, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came upon him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wrought. And it talks about smoke coming out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, talking about the Lord. And he bowed the heavens also and came down. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness his secret place and his pavilion around about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, and hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightning and discomforted them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the earth were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord. And he goes on, and it talks about who can be too strong for me because of the Lord. Go down to verse 34. Read it all. It's awesome. If you ever need encouragement in times of trouble, read about that. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me up upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holdeth me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip, and I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. For thou hast girded me with strength into the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. It's a great encouragement. Read the whole chapter. But God is a God of war. Why is he a God of war? Because he's been fighting for us since the garden, since before the garden. He knew. And the foundations of the earth, he knew. He's been fighting for us. So it's no surprise when we have to come into this army in this battle. God told me weeks ago, I was sitting outside just listening to the Lord, and he says, we are at war. We are at war, meaning the kingdom of God. We are at war. We are always at war. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. The enemy will come against you. You are always warring with your flesh. That's why we are told to die daily to self. Jesus said, deny thyself, pick up thy cross, and follow me. One version says daily. Do this daily. It's an everyday thing. We are doing this thing every day. Don't be surprised when you find out you're in the middle of a war. Know that God, like David, is able to teach you your hands and your fingers to war. Psalms 144 is another one. Let's read that. It's a great encouragement. Yes, it is. And it reads, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he is whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. He teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Don't be surprised at what you go through or the things that you're enduring. You're learning to war. You're learning to war. Every trial, every mountain, every valley, every day, even against your flesh, you're learning to war. You're learning to step into the battle and not only save yourself, but save those around you. We're in training every day. If you look at it that way, it's just who I am. I'm just God's warrior. Thank you. Like David. David wasn't perfect. No, he wasn't. The Bible plainly states that. Although it says he was a man after God's own heart, he was still a man. Are we going to have times of trouble? Are we going to miss the mark? Yes, we are. I'm not going to say you're not going to, because I'd be telling you a lie. But you get it under the blood, as we Pentecost say. You get in there and find out what God wants you to do about it and get it forgiven. And then you learn and go back out into the battlefield and continue on. Proverbs 18 and 10 tells us about, I love God. God looked at, he is looked at as so many things. He's our buckler. He's our strength. He's our tower. He's our fortress. I mean, there were so many good things in there. He was a deliverer. Proverbs 18 and 10. And when I read that, it brought me to this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. The name, just the name, is a strong tower. There are times when I need that strong tower. There are times when the enemy is fierce. There are times when I've fought and I fought, and all day I just want to go home and be in my home. That's my surroundings. That's my peaceful place, away from everything else. That's why the home is very important to me. Quietness, joy, peace, love, all those things are in my home. And I try to strive to keep it that way. I'm very careful about what's on the TV. We never play the radio, or even if we listen to it on our phones or whatever. I'm very careful about what is brought into the home, what is listened to, what is seen. Very careful. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Because there are times after I've been all day at work, I need that strong tower to run to. I need the name of Jesus. I need to just go in and spend some quiet time sheltered away from everything else. And just be one-on-one with him. Just the quiet time. Do I have responsibilities at home? Yes, I have to cook and clean and take care of four animals that we've inherited along the way. Take care of and be, make sure my husband is taken care of. never stops, the work, especially for women. It's constant. But I steal away and try to give myself quiet time. Sometimes I pray, and sometimes I spend a lot of time just listening to God. Let me just commune with you. Give you, you know, He gets to hear me all day long. Let give you time to talk. Let Him respond. But when I read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the Message version, I thought it was interesting that it broke it down in just what it is, just the weapons that you have. And the first one was truth. Truth. And John 8 and 32 says, "The truth shall make you free." That was Jesus' own words. I think it came right after the incident with the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and they drug her out to stone her, and they asked Jesus about it, trying to trip him up, have something to accuse him with. And then when he did what he did, he turned around and looked at him and says, let me read that part, John 8, because it's got so much good to it. And this is Jesus' own words coming forth. John 8, 32, but let's go to 31. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him," now he wasn't talking to the sinners, but the Jews that were believing on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How is it that truth is a weapon? It frees me from the bondage of sin. The truth frees me from the bondage of sin. When the enemy approaches me with his, and I'll tell you, he's just a liar. When he approaches you with anything, if you know the truth and you are confident in the truth, he can't entangle you again. You're going like, yeah, that's a load of malarkey. Enemy, I see you. You're not going to trip me up. I see that. I see that. It's like the snake, the rattlesnake. When you get close, it goes. You get too close, the other end of that is the business end, and he's going to get you. When you hear the rattle, if it's not the truth, then you know this is how you defend yourself. It's the truth. I'm clinging to that truth. Jesus said it will set me free. That's how I break those bonds. I know the truth. Righteousness was the second one. Righteousness. And I know I'm not going about this in the traditional, letting you know where they are, you know, the shield of faith and all that, but I just simply was impressed with the way that he wrote that, and I wanted to just speak to you that way. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, righteousness. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So on the cross, his holy life, Jesus is pure, unsinful, perfect walk in this life. He put it on the cross. He took all my sin. He took all the sin and he bore it to the cross for us. And he gave it a great exchange, your sin for his righteousness. My unrighteousness for his righteousness. So when I learn that I am the righteousness of God, and I am in right standing with God, the enemy can't hold anything over me. When he starts telling me lies about who I was or what I've done, I can remind him, I have been made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. The old is gone, the new is in. Righteousness through Jesus Christ. 31 through 32. Yes, ma'am. It's all right. Righteousness. When I realize that I am righteous, the enemy can't come at me and tell me something different, can he? He can't drug something up from my past and say, oh, look at this. Remember when? Uh-uh. Let me show you my righteousness through Christ Jesus. It's a weapon. It puts him in his place. Peace was the next one. Peace. And oh my gosh, he loves to come against you on your peace, doesn't he? Oh, it can be as soon as you wake up and hear that phone ring. You know something is not right. In the middle of the night, you'll get a call. You know that's not normal to get a call in the middle of the night. The other day, I picked up the phone at 8 o'clock. I was on my job, and my sister calls me on my cell phone. And I know she knows that I'm at work. And the first things I do when I answer the phone is, everything okay? Because she calls me at unusual times, I'm worried that something is not right. It's not normal. But it's that peace. They're trying to steal that peace from you. He's trying to distract you. John 14 and 27, Jesus said that he left us his peace, not the peace of the world, but his peace. How many times are we relying on our own peace instead of on his peace? And when I know that I know that I know who I am in Christ Jesus, who he is, who I am, who I belong to, regardless of the storms and how bad things look, I can say, here it is, Lord. I give it to you. You can have it. Yes, ma'am. Relying on my own strength, trying to fix myself in my own. There's so many different ways you could look at that peace. How does the enemy steal peace from you? How do you go about and try to fix that? It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It is something that you have. Jesus gave it to you. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4 says, if the mind that is stayed on God, he will keep in perfect peace. So, how you stay in peace is keep your mind on God. Yes, I know the enemy is going to show you everything to try to keep you from being in peace. He's trying to steal your peace, as we used to say. But you got to keep your eyes on him and quit focusing on the storm, we used to say. It reads, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It's amazing how peace and strength kind of go together. But when the enemy keeps coming at you and trying to distract you and trying to keep you focused on the problems, on the issues, on all this and that and other, and you say, Lord, I've given it to you. I'm going to walk in confidence and the peace that you give me, that it's going to be taken care of. We like to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. They're going to form, but they're not going to prosper. That's a promise that I have. I may not see it today. I may not see it tomorrow. It may be next week. It may be next month. But I know my God is going to move in his own time, in his own way. The next thing was faith. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10 and 17. Faith is something we are giving. That is also one of the fruit of the Spirit. And like I've always said with fruit, we've got to learn to let it grow. Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is why it's mucho important for you to be in church and to hear the word of God. This is why also it is important that you are very careful about whom you are hearing. not everyone is of God. There are a lot of false prophets, false teachers, as in Christ's time, also in our times. This is why we need to know the truth. God's word is the truth. Jesus prayed for his disciples before he left, and he said, keep them in your truth. In your truth. Ephesians 3:16-17. That he would grant you according to the riches. I want to read it in the Amplified because I like the way it reads. It's easier for me to understand. It says, may he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his spirit in your inner self. Indwelling, not just dwelling, but indwelling. Indwelling means it permeates, it takes over. It's in every cell of your body. Indwelling your innermost being and personality, not just your being, but your personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints the width, the depth, and heights of his love, fully experiencing that amazing endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience, that's that boring, the love of God, Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Faith. Faith. Faith is, I know he loves me, and because he loves me, regardless of what the enemy, what has come my way, I stand on him and his promises. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's because I don't have the answer now. I have faith and I have hope and I believe that it's going to be so according to God's word. Faith is a weapon. A lot of times we put our faith in other things. Men, pastors, our jobs, our money. And we learned all too well with the pandemic. That stuff, can we put our faith in? Only in God. Salvation. Salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He's been mourning for us all alone. All alone. Romans 8:32. I'm back to the King James Version on that one. He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Salvation. It's a promise of saving and victory. How shall he not give us all things? An enemy, the salvation is the helmet. And the enemy comes whispering about this, that, or the other. You can remember, I have everything through Christ Jesus. I have salvation. I have been saved. I have been sanctified. I have been sealed with his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no one can take you out of my hands. Nothing can steal you from my hands. That's what he told his disciples. The only thing that can do that is us. We can take ourselves out. But he's constantly coming against your salvation. The enemy is. It's a weapon. Quote the scriptures. Tell him who you are. Tell him to flee. I love how it says in here, Isaiah 43:1-5. Let's read that one before I go on. It's a promise. It's another promise. All this is promises. All these are the the word is true. I don't know what experiences have you had in your life, but I know what I've been through, and I know that it's true. Isaiah 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Salvation. When we start applying our weapons, our well-made weapons, through Jesus Christ, through God, the Father who sacrificed, through the Holy Spirit who lives within us, the enemy cannot withstand. Two more things he gives you. God's Word. God's Word. We know it's the only weapon that we have in our armor. God's Word. And we know that Jesus is the Word made into flesh. We know the name of Jesus is powerful. Every knee shall bow on earth and under the earth. That is a promise now. It will happen in the future, but it will happen now. Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the Word is living, active, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing bone and marrow. Philippians 2 and 10 says, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, that's just not in the future. It is now. The disciples, when they were sent out and they come back, they were overjoyed because they said, Master, in your name, the demons were subject to us. In your name. That was before the cross. They were walking in victory before the cross in Jesus' name. Revelations 19, 11 through 21. And if you haven't read the end of the book as a Christian, you should. Because this not only tells you that you have victory now, but you're going to have it eternally. And I'm going to read it all because, my God, it's glorious. This is who you serve. And this is who you are joint heirs with. And it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses and clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Did you catch that, army of God? And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierce and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now they're talking about Jesus. And he says, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and all them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. God's word is powerful. It has that power to come and still has that power today. Did you catch it? God's word. Army of God. Use the sword. You don't know it, you can't use it. That's why important, so important to be here, to listen to God's words, to study it, but also be careful. Because everything on the internet, everything out there, and everybody out there is not giving you God's word. Oh, it'll sound like it, but if you know the truth, you'll be able to figure it out. You know the deceivers, but you got to know the truth for yourself. The last thing he gave them was prayer. Hearing and getting commands. Prayer. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is just not you listening to me, God. It is me listening to you. It's conversation. You don't have to be on your knees to pray. You can pray. I sat at my desk and pray and talk to God all day long. You can pray and talk to God constantly, continuously, the Bible says. James 5 and 16 talks about what happens when we pray. And read the chapters above it. I don't want to keep you here any longer, but it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. We can't let anything get in the way. There can't be anything in the way. Don't allow your faults to stumble you up and keep you. Get help from one another. We're supposed to lift each other and keep each other prayed up. Help each other. That you may be healed, it says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want to read that in the New Living Translation. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That's a promise. The righteous person, great power and produces wonderful results. Power availeth much. Prayer availeth much. I love the story of Paul being in the jail, but it says that the church gathered together and prayed. And when he came out, led by the angel of the Lord, and answered prayer, and knocked at the door, the little girl, the servant girl, was astonished. She went back and told him, said, it's him. He's at the door. And they're like, oh no, it must be his ghost, you know. No, their prayer availeth much. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. We're supposed to pray for each other. God puts somebody on your heart. If they just come to your mind out of nowhere, pray. Say a prayer for them. That is a time when they need your strength, probably. And God is knocking on your heart, giving you the opportunity to be release what needs to be done. The sin. Prayer opens the door for God to move and do things. We have to pray. He taught the disciples to pray. He taught them a prayer. If you can't think of anything, pray that. Pray for that person in that way. Yes, ma'am. aside, if the Son of God set aside time to spend in prayer, how important do you think it is? It's greatly important. Greatly important. We've got to keep in communion. When we're soldiers, you've got to keep in touch with command. You've got to know what the next move is. This is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. If you ain't got no connection with your leader, how are you going to know with God? Prayer is that. Prayer is that constant communication with God. It's another thing the enemy comes so greatly against, your time with God to pray and get alone. He comes against it. But it's a weapon, and that's why he doesn't want you to be able to do those things, because he knows how powerful not only you are, but how powerful that can be. Yes, ma'am. Luke 11:1. Did you hear that? We'll read it real fast. Luke 11:1. Yes. Luke 11:1 is teaching about prayer. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And that's true. I mean, you see many times that our Savior, he would go away by himself and have conversation with the Father. When he sent them across on the boat, he went up to pray and sent them on. And they encountered the storm. And he's walking on the water. I mean, prayer was greatly important. Even Jesus knew and understood that principle. And we too should be the same. These are the weapons that you are empowered with. As the scripture said, and I thought it was so funny, so great how he put it, these are well-made weapons. Use them. Learn to apply them to yourselves. Because your plane, this is for keeps. It's a life or death fight to the finish. If you don't use your weapons, you're going to be prey for the enemy. Pray for the enemy. So you are a well-equipped warrior if you apply all these. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer. A well-equipped warrior. Don't let the enemy tell you anything otherwise. Break down the strongholds. Take captive every thought, as the Word says, and bring it to the truth, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how we break through in our minds, in our lives. And we keep warring. Keep warring. Like David, you teach me to war. That's what you're doing. You're being taught to war every day. Don't think it's strange. Father, I praise you and I thank you for this day.